Welcome back to Money News. Tell you, one thing that I keep on noting is that Australia increasingly is getting more technology type issues on the stock market. Whether people back them or not, people recognise that many of these technologies can disrupt other established businesses. And the classics that have been told by Pamela Williams, of course, is how realestate.com.au, how Seek and carsales.com effectively destroyed Fairfax Media. But it goes way beyond that. But the question is whether you, as an individual and an investor, really understand how to take the opportunity of those new technological changes, whether you know how to identify the companies that might be the winners or losers, because there is always risk involved in these companies, a bit like mining speculative companies that ultimately have what's called cash burn. They run out of cash before they've been proven up. That's one of the issues that happens with any technological-based company. But there's not just companies here. There's established businesses around the world. Well, right now, a new fund manager here in Australia that's been created by some highly credentialed individuals has come together to create a new opportunity for people. I reckon it's worth having a chat. Now, Alex Pollock is a man who I've known for many years. Ex-Macquarie, he was the man who really was my go-to man when it came to media in many ways. And he and a number of others have come together to create a new business called Loftus Peak, which specialises in identifying some of those tech companies that maybe you should have a crack at. And he's in the studio with me now. G'day, Alex.
G'day, Ross. How are you?
Good, thank you. Listen, in regards to this, I think it's true, though, that a lot of people like the idea of investing in tech, but they don't kind of know where to start. That's the issue that you tried to address, wasn't it?
That is precisely the point. So we put together what we think is the best tech invest team in this country. And what we look at is established businesses in technology. We're in Apple, we're in Google, we're in Amazon, we're in the businesses that are going to be here around for the long period of time, and we provide an in for Australian investors to be able to invest in those businesses in their own names, and that's the critical part about it.
There's a little difference here, and we should explain this to people. Normally, if you go into a funds manager, your money will go into the big pot with everybody else's money. And so as a result, the fund manager will then go and buy all the various companies they do, and you don't necessarily own those shares individually. You own a part of the pot.
Correct.
In your case, you're saying, we are going to get you 5 Google shares or 8, whatever they might be, in your portfolio,
correct,
depending on how much money you've
correct
put in there.
Or 500,000 Google. Exactly that. So each account is actually owned by the person who puts the money in the first place. We run what they call a managed direct account on a platform run by Mason Stevens. Very good crowd. And so the point is that the investment that you hold in Google or Amazon or eBay is held in your own name. The tax consequences are your own. And that's so that's one part. But the second part,
it could be your self-managed super fund.
Could be your self-managed
super.
Or
it could be you as an individual, or it could be a company.
Could
whatever
be a trust,
might be.
Could be you, could be any
yes,
any structure that you want to put
it
into.
But is that hard to administer? Because in the past, that would have been fraught with danger trying to administer that. Is that where technology has even changed your business?
That's where technology has exactly changed our business. These managed direct accounts give us the facility to be able to apportion the holdings across the different accounts so that everybody gets set in the exact ratio that they have the cash to actually invest
in.
The
problem in the past would have been that would have increased the admin fees dramatically. What happens here?
Correct. No, our admin fees are amongst the lowest in the business. I refer to this business as investment management, in a sense, 2.0, because it does away with all the kind of intermediaries and all the stuff in between you and your money, and therefore it creates a very, very low cost of being in the fund, in the portfolio.
Now, you mentioned all those big overseas companies. I'll come back to those in a moment because there's one in particular I want to talk to you about. But here in Australia, there are clearly a lot of these types of businesses also being created. How much are you going to have emphasis on the local tech businesses?
So we'd never rule out an Aussie tech company because we just wouldn't rule it out. But our focus is in listed global technology businesses, and it's the names that people know. 80% of the portfolio is in names that people know that they probably do business with one way or the other every day, maybe 10, 20 times a day. So the idea of the exercise is that we want to be in the global majors, the businesses that are the true disruptors and that are going to be here in 20 years' time, so that investors, superannuants, have some degree of certainty and comfort that the business that they're investing in is a real live business. 20% of the portfolio we kind of reserve for stuff that we can considered to be the new, you know, the new big companies of the future. But importantly, we don't invest in startups, which means that you have liquidity in your portfolio every single day.
I've got to say the other thing that I'm kind of fascinated about right now is one of the stories of this week has been Apple, the stock split there. They've done a 7-for-1 stock split. The shares were around about $650. They brought them down under $100 to about $92 on that split.
Exactly.
In regards to Apple doing that, that was about trying to create more liquidity to try and attract more investors, investors like yours into that stock.
100%. And it's already worked because the stock's already up 3% because the actual theoretical price after the split was $92.14 and now it's pushing up towards $95. So very clever move on the part of Apple. Nothing's actually changed. They've just made the securities more marketable. And I think they're going to get some inclusion in the Dow Jones as well, which is also a good thing.
There's a second part of that also, is for a tech stock like Apple, you generally expect tech stocks to be growth-oriented stocks. And any money that comes in as profit gets ploughed straight back into the next big thing that that company is trying to do. A bit like mining companies in some ways. Apple, however, I noticed, has a dividend yield of more than 2%.
Absolutely. There's $150 billion worth of money that's going to be returned to shareholders, point one. Many people don't realise that Apple is trading at 6x what they call EBITDA. It compares with a company like, for example, Fairfax, which is trading at 8 or 9 or 10 times. Many people don't realise that Apple is actually cheaper than Fairfax.
And that's an astonishing thing to imagine these days. One is a newspaper business trying desperately to transform itself and struggling to do so. And the other one is the established leader in mobile technology.
Global brand that's got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different options for growth, trading at one of the lowest multiples. And by the way, what's even lower, and another company that we own, is Samsung, trading at 3.5x that ratio. There are incredible bargains out there, but you have to have the, you know, we like to think of it as the IP, the intellectual property, to have people to be able to look at those things and make decisions on pricing about whether they're good or bad. For example, Facebook and Twitter both fell, you know, 30, 40, 50% in the last couple of weeks. We were not in those companies because they did not fit our pricing screen. We thought they were too expensive. They fell and they proved us right. So it's not just about identifying the companies. You've got to price them as well.
And there's a second factor, and that is the Australian dollar historically is high at the moment. And therefore, if you're buying these offshore companies today, you're buying them with Australian dollars that are historically high.
100%.
Technically, if that dollar falls in the future, you're going to get whammy out of that also.
That is 100% correct. We say 93.5, 94 cents, use those big fat Australian dollars to go and do something clever with your money. Go and buy a piece of some of the global majors in technology and global change like Apple, like Google, and do it at 94 cents. Don't wait till the Aussie dollar is back at 75 or 50 because by that stage, those things become ridiculously expensive for you.
See, these are the opportunity that a lot of people are simply going to have overlooked up until now because they thought it was just too hard to do it. And of course, buying overseas companies can sometimes be fraught in terms of trying to execute in foreign countries. Well, here is one answer possibly if you're into that type of thing. Alex Pollock, as I say, is somebody I've known for years and years, always the go-to man for media, and now Loftus Peak, that's the name of the business, and we appreciate your time, Alex.
Thank you, Ross.